Hallelujah. Why don't we stand and worship this God who is, hallelujah, the one that is the answer for everything this world has need of. Hallelujah, Lord, we lift you up. You are God, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah, you are the answer, God, to every trouble, every problem, every situation, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And Jesus said it this way. He said, and you are complete. We are complete in him. Aren't you thankful that I am is everything that you have need of tonight? Wherever you are, whatever you're facing, you can turn to a God and say, he is the God that is my help. He is the one that is able. Why don't you give him another thanksgiving and another praise tonight? Hallelujah. We magnify the God who is. Hallelujah. The God who has all power. Hallelujah. The God with us is impossible with you. Hallelujah. We lift you up, Savior. We lift you up, Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, thank for the presence of the Lord that is in this house tonight. Amen. Thank for the power of the Holy Ghost that is in this place. Thankful that the I Am, the Almighty God, the Everlasting One, is willing to step into a building on St. Louis, Missouri, and reach down and to touch lives. Aren't you privileged? Aren't you glad to know that the Lord of glory is in this place tonight? That's it. Go ahead and give him more praise. Hallelujah. So thankful to know you, Jesus. So thankful to know your power, to know your love, to know your mercy, to know your grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We lift you up, Lord. We lift you up, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, thank you for your faithfulness to the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. We're believing God for great things. He's already done great things. Amen. I believe his word is going to touch our heart tonight. Good to have some guests with us tonight. If you're with us, just invite you to worship. Just invite you to praise this great I Am, this God with us. Amen. And to let him touch your life as he is touching ours. I'm going to read from the very first book of our Bible, Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to read just first three verses there. Very familiar. Most of you could probably quote this, but it says this: in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and it was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And verse 3 says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be light, and there was light. And I just want to preach this simple thought tonight, and that is this: the light still shines. The light still shines. Aren't you thankful the light that has shined in your life? Why don't you give him one more thanksgiving before you're seated? Thank you, Savior, for the light of the gospel that has shined into us, Lord. Hallelujah, that has touched our hearts and our lives, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, God. Praise your name. And you may be seated. So begins the greatest book ever written, this Word of God. There is perhaps no book in this book of books that is more profound than the book of beginnings, the book we call the book of Genesis. Its story starts at the dawn of creation, yet it hints at a God who existed for eternity before time as we knew it began. And while there's a lifetime of gleanings to be had from the 50 chapters in this book of Genesis, it is certain that our mortal minds will never plumb its depths nor soar to its heights. And so we have to content ourselves with the glimpses that we're able to discern, and maybe with some speculations that present themselves as we strive to understand its riches. We begin with the first three verses, and the Bible in verse 1 offers no apology for God. It doesn't argue for his existence. It doesn't try to convince us of his truth. It simply states, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. He has no beginning as far as he is concerned, maybe as far as man is concerned, but as far as he is concerned, there is no beginning and he has no end. His own description of himself is just what we sang about just a moment ago. He said, I am that I am. In other words, I exist. I'm the self-existing one, and that's who I am. Where did God dwell? You ever wonder what existed with him before the creation of the heavens and the earth? Were the angels present at the time? Did he dwell in heaven where he sat on a throne? Or was there only God? Was there only God and nothing else? Even more mysterious, what was or what is God? Was he a consciousness? Was he a force? Was he certainly not a physical being as we understand physical? The Bible only describes him as spirit. John said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Spirit in both the Old and the New Testament refers to a wind or to a breath. Something we can feel, but you can't see. Something that we can see the effects of, but you know, cannot touch. Something that embodies great power, yet seems to be nothingness. Yet according to Genesis 1 and 2, that spirit hovers, or that spirit is over the face of the waters. Word literally, it broods over a chaotic and a useless creation, and an emptiness and a void, enveloping this vast wasteland that the Spirit of God is hovering over. The Bible says is darkness, and a gross darkness. Now, I won't go into a discussion tonight of why creation was yet in this state, how long it had been that way, how it got into that state without form or void. But of greater interest is the next verse, which says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Light. So much of the Bible speaks of light. And from this first creative or maybe recreative act, however you see it, in the opening verses of this first book, to the final chapters of the Bible, we read of light. In Revelation we read, and the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of the Lord did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. We see this motif of light. Much like spirit, light is an intangible thing, if you will. You can't feel it. I can see it. I cannot feel it. I cannot touch it. I cannot taste it. I cannot hear it. But yet I can see because of light. Yet it is a powerful force. And light is the one thing that enables us to observe the things around us and to see the things that we are around us now. Sometimes you might ask yourself, what does universe does it allow us to observe? Einstein's most famous equation revolutionized physics. He said E equals mc squared, or energy is mass times the speed of light. And so he brings this idea of light into the universe. And I have to wonder, was the universe observable before there was light? Was the heaven and earth matter as we know it to be? Could we have stood on the earth and comprehended our surroundings with no light? Is that formula even valid in a universe that has no light? Does it make sense? And will we ever know the answers to those questions? But while we may never be able to qualify or to quantify the universe that exists in, we certainly are in a much better position to do that with the advent of light. We have many devices that can help us see light. We can see it with our naked eye. We can see it with telescopes. We can even see it with great electro dishes, satellite dishes that pick up an electromagnetic spectrum. Yet it's all possible because God created light. Light allows us to comprehend the universe around us in a physical sense. But more than that, to the child of God or to the theologian, light allows us to comprehend who God is. Let somebody else make this point for us. John Calvin wrote this. He said, since the perfection of blessedness consists in the knowledge of God, God has manifested his perfections in the whole universe. In other words, everywhere you look, you can see the greatness of God. He said he daily places us himself in our view so that we can't open our eyes without beholding God around us. He said his essence, who God is, it's incomprehensible to us. It transcends human thought. But on every one of his works, you can see the glory of God. He said so that you cannot plead ignorance of God. He said, and so the psalmist said, he covereth himself with light as a garment. It's almost as if the psalmist was saying that God robed himself in light, that God put on light, the God that no one could comprehend and no one could see in the darkness. He covered himself with light so that we might see who he is. And he talks about light. The writer of Hebrews said it this way. He talks about the visible world. He said our images of the invisible world. For the psalmist, for the same reason, he attributes language to those objects in the heavens. He said the heavens, they declare the glory of God. And the firmament, it shows his handiwork. Day unto day, it utters speech. In other words, you can look at the universe and you can hear the voice of God. He said night unto night, it shows knowledge. And there's no speech, there's no language where the voice is not heard. The Apostle Paul even more clearly says it this way, that which we may know of God is manifest in
that God is manifest in the things around us. For God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from creation are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. In other words, we look around the universe around us. We look around at all that we see, and it says one thing: there is a God. There is a God. Now, we often speak of God as light. And yet, until he spoke light into existence, think about it, there was no light. So to be precise, light is an expression of God. We might even go so far to say if it weren't for light, we could not know God. And if God indeed revealed all in creation, how much more has he revealed himself in the light of the world or in Jesus Christ? The writer of Hebrews said it this way: God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, in these last days he spoke unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. In other words, he said, all that we comprehend of God, we see it in the brightness of his glory in Jesus Christ. And with great understanding, John borrows from the very language of Genesis that we read, and he begins his book: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and that Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was what? It was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And the Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, or we saw it as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He goes on to say, no man hath seen God, no man seen that Spirit in any time, but the only begotten Son, he hath declared him. So to briefly go over that, God was in the beginning. He dwelt in utter darkness. He spoke the universe into existence. He created light. That light reveals who God is, and Jesus is the complete revelation of God because he is the light. And before we go any further, I want to take just a step back and look at that second point again. He dwelt in darkness. We often talk about God dwelling in light. We often talk about he is the light, and he is because he reveals himself to us in light. But God, the Bible tells us, dwelt in darkness. As Moses approached the mountain, the wilderness, where the presence of God was, we're told this in Exodus 20, said the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Moses retells the scene in Deuteronomy with equally descriptive words. And he came near and stood up under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire in the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. David spoke of God delivering him from Saul, and with the skill of a poet, he writes it this way: he bowed the heavens also when he came down. Darkness was under his feet, and he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions around about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. Unless we think that since creation, God now dwells in light, Solomon reminds this in 1 Kings. He said, then spake Solomon, the Lord said that he will dwell in thick darkness. And once again in the psalmist, it says, the world, Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. Let the multitudes of the isles be glad. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. What is this darkness that the scriptures speak about? Surely it's not the same darkness that refers to sin, because there is no sin in God. Is it not significant that while God said that he is to dwell in thick darkness, yet the powers of evil are also referred to as powers of darkness? And perhaps it's because the God who dwells in darkness chooses to operate in this realm of light, this created realm that we live in. Satan is neither a creator nor is he omnipotent. And while he may influence or exhibit an influence here in this realm, his abode is in darkness. God created the physical realm, this realm of light, the creation that we talked about for his glory. He said this, thou art glory, worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you've created all things, and for your pleasure, God, they are and were created. Satan has no such realm, but instead, deceptively, he tries to transfer himself into an angel of light. He is always trying to usurp the true light, but to Satan is reserved the chains of darkness. Jude reminds us, the angels which kept not their first estate, he hath reserved under everlasting chains, under darkness, until judgment day. This darkness is a realm we don't understand. It's beyond what we can explore with our senses. But thankfully, since we can't perceive the realm of darkness that God may dwell in, he chose to enter the realm in which we live. One old song said it this way, he came down to my level when I couldn't get up to his. Or perhaps another song, newer song that we sing, he wraps himself in light and darkness tries to hide. If there's one thing we can say for certain, it is this, when light shines in our realm, then God reveals himself to our situation. Darkness and confusion has to go. Now, I've said all that to say this. Creation provided the template of how God will work in our lives and in this realm. Whenever things are without form and without void, whenever things are chaotic and useless, the light will bring order and it will bring value to a life. Only after speaking light into existence did God pause long enough to say, I see the light, and that light is good. Titled this message, The Light Still Shines. Anytime it seems that darkness has taken control, remember there is a God who speaks light into darkness. Creation may have been the first time light dispelled the darkness, but it certainly is not the last. We can look at scripture. Israel faced 430 years of darkness in the land of Egypt. They suffered greatly under the oppression of taskmasters. The promise to Abraham was this, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. You're going to be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him which curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And no doubt for 430 years, that seemed like a distant memory and a hollow promise. As they looked at the situation around them and they said, I don't see it. We're no one's being blessed by where we're at and what we are in. But can I say that God was not finished in his timing? And when he would get the greatest glory, God stepped into Israel's darkness. Listen to the words that he spoke to Moses. He said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob by the name Almighty. But by my name Jehovah, I was not known unto them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I've also heard the groanings of the children of Israel. What he was saying is, I've seen the darkness that is around them. I've seen where they are at. He said, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And he said, I have remembered my covenant. Aren't you thankful for a God that never forgets his promises? A God that never turns his back on his people? Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arms and great judgments. I will take you for me to a people. I will be a God to you, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from the burdens of the Egyptians. And bring them out he did. First one plague, and then another. Three plagues felt by both the Egyptians and the Israelites. But from the time of the fourth plague on, the Israelites were exempt. Five more plagues followed, but only upon the Egyptians. And by that time, the land was devastated. The crops were destroyed. The livestock was depleted. Confusion and chaos, if you will, reigned over the land of Egypt. But the end was not yet. The ninth plague would drive the point home in a way maybe none of the previous ones did. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They saw not one another, nor neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Egypt was in darkness, but God's people dwelt in light. Egypt got to feel the absence, if you will, of the presence of God while Israel was basking in his light. And that separation that God was showing them would continue until Israel was far from the land of Egypt. Of course, we know Israel left Egypt. They were let go after spoiling the Egyptians. Pharaoh soon regretted his decision, and his armies began to overtake the Israelites. And they were trapped between mountains on the sides, the Red Sea in the front, and a pursuing army coming up behind him. Maybe some of them even thought they had reached the end. But the Bible said the angel of God, which went before the camp, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of the Israel. And it was a cloud of darkness to the Egyptians, but it gave light to the Israelites. The light still shined when God dried up to see. Israel walked through, and the Egyptians were seen by them no more. And that light guided them for 40 years until they entered the promised land. Aren't you thankful the light still shines? The light still shines. Almost 2,000 years had passed. Israel had lived through judges, and they had lived through kings. They had worshiped Jehovah, and they followed after Baal. They sacrificed their flocks to the one true God of Israel, and then they sacrificed their children to Molech. They had possessed the land of Canaan, and then they had been carried away into Babylon. Their kings had reigned from Jerusalem, and they had seen the holy city leveled and burned to the ground. They had heard the warnings of the prophets, and now were experiencing a silent God. For 400 years, there was no voice of God in all of Israel. They carried on. They went through the motions of offering sacrifices in a temple built by Herod. But no Shekinah glory of God filled the house as it had done in the days of Solomon. Spiritual darkness had covered the ground, covered the land. Yet in the darkness that gripped the land, there was still hope. In the synagogues, the words of perhaps their greatest prophet still offered this consolation. The people which walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light hath shined. He went on to say, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there would be no end. And upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment. And with justice from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent that word unto Jacob. And he said, and it hath lighted upon Israel. And then he continues and says this, arise and shine, for your light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord is going to rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. 400 years of darkness was no match for the light that was going to shine. The New Testament opens this way. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this rise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her an example, was minded to put her away. But while he thought on those things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, you son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. The darkness for 400 years was about to go away. It began as a faint light in the night stars, night skies. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, there came wise men from the east, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. Not a bright light, not a blinding light, just a twinkling star. But the light was still shining. Not the noonday sun, but a twinkle in the darkness. And then in Luke it says, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. The light was getting brighter. As Jesus was presented at the temple, Simeon prophesied, and he said, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. It's a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." For some 3.5 years of ministry, that light shone in the face of Jesus. Paul said, "God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." What was he saying? Look to Jesus and you can see that the light still shines. John said of that light, "The light shined in the darkness and the darkness comprehended it not." Israel had been in darkness so long, yet they didn't recognize when the light began to shine. Yet the light still shines. Some understood, some comprehended, some let the light break through. Bible says this: Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and he brought them into a high mountain. He was transfigured before him, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as the light. And so it has been throughout history. Darkness covers the land, but the light breaks through. Darkness covers your situation, but the light breaks through. 2,000 more years have passed, and Scripture tells us that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Spiritual darkness may cover the land. We see Christians marginalized, and we see them mocked. We see what was once universally declared to be sin accepted as societal norms. All around, the darkness of sin grips our land. But can I tell you tonight, the light still shines. The power of the light to transform lives will never be diminished, no matter how dark the night. It doesn't matter how wicked the world gets around us. It doesn't matter what else happened. Light always triumphs over darkness. John wrote in the Revelation, he said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice. I am Alpha, I am Omega, I am first and the last." And he turned to look, and in the midst of that, he saw the Son of Man clothed with a garment to the foot. And he said, "In his head were as wool and white as snow, and his eyes as a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. And they burned in a furnace, and his voice the sound of many waters." And he said, "And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." And he said, "Fear not, I am the first, I am the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Can I tell you, the light still shines. The light still shines. And when the sinfulness of this world becomes so dark, when all semblance of light is gone, when the Spirit of God eventually withdraws itself and withdraws his people from this earth, can I tell you, the light will still shine. The Bible talks about the sinful who will be cast in outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. But unto the righteous there is a promise. There's a city that has no need for the sun, neither a moon to shine in it, for the glory of the Lord will lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all, for there shall be no night. Every life is a microcosm of this darkness and light. Darkness and light. David said it this way: "I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Paul reminds us this. He said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And yet in that spiritual darkness, John gives us hope. He said, "There is a condemnation, and the condemnation is this: light came into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." He said, "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light." Can I tell you tonight, you don't have to remain in darkness. You don't have to remain in the situation of sin that is in your life. You don't have to remain in the darkness of a situation that is coming. You can come to the light. I'm thankful that light still shines. I'm thankful that light will still reach into any situation. You know, it doesn't matter how dark the situation is. It doesn't matter how dark your life may seem. And you may even look at your life and say, there's no way the light can shine in my life. There's no way that it can shine because of the things I've done or the places I've been and the things I've been a part of. But can I tell you, the light of the gospel can shine in any situation. It can shine on any light. He said this, Paul said this to the Ephesians. He said, you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And to the Colossians, he said, give thanks to the Father, which has made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saint in light. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Why? Because the light still shines. Because the light still shines. I know this is a little bit different message. In Christmas time, I wanted to bring in the Christmas story. But I can tell you the light will still shine in your situation. As it shined in Bethlehem. As it shined for the Israelites in Egypt. As it shined throughout history. As it shined at creation. It will shine in your situation. The question is, will you embrace the light? Will you embrace the light? Said the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The only condemnation comes when you don't embrace the light. It has been said that darkness, you know, you can only get so dark. You take all the light out, it's dark, and then you can't get any darker than that. I've been in a cave walking through one of the caves. I don't think it was Merrimack Cavern. I think it was Cave of the Winds. We got down under the ground, and they turned out all the lights and said, this is 40 times darker than it is on the surface. It's dark. You can't see anything. You can't touch it. You can't see. But all it takes is one small light, and you can see. No matter how dark it seems in your life right now, the light wants to shine on your life. My question is, will you let it? I mean, let's stand tonight. Where are you at in your situation? Does it look like darkness around you? Does it look like there's no hope, nowhere to go, nowhere to touch, nothing I can see, no hope? Can I tell you, there is hope in Jesus Christ. There is a light that still shines and will shine in your situation. You know what the Bible tells us? It says the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that receive not, lest the light of the gospel would shine unto them. If you're in darkness, it's because Satan wants you to be in darkness. He doesn't want you to see the light because he understands that if you comprehend the light, if you understand the love of Jesus Christ, if you understand the glory of God that shines in the light of Jesus, it will change your life. And so I just want to open this altar at this time and say, if you're in darkness, if you're looking at a situation that looks impossible, if you don't know if the light can shine, can I tell you, God wants to shine in your life tonight. And I want to invite you to come and let him do that. Let the gospel of Jesus Christ shine into you. Let the light of his gospel reach to where you are. Let it break through the darkness that you're facing. Maybe you're serving God and you're living with everything that you have and you're doing the best you can, but you look and things around you seem to be growing darker. Amen. Why don't you let the light of God brighten? Break back into your situation. Let it touch your life again. That's it. Amen. Maybe you know someone that's living in darkness. Maybe you know someone that needs to hear this gospel. Why don't you come and just offer a prayer right now to say, Lord, break through their darkness. Hallelujah. Break through their darkness. Let them see the light of the gospel. Let them see the power, Lord, of your spirit to touch their lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Several have come. Amen. Why don't you let him touch you tonight? Amen. Others, why don't you join them tonight? Let's believe what God wants to do. Let him open your eyes tonight. Let him open the blinded eyes that you can see the light of his gospel in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Let him shine in your life tonight. Let him shine on your situation. Lord, we need you. Let us see clearly, Lord, what you can do. Hallelujah. Let us see your saving power, Lord. Let us see your grace.